been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition. It is the Fed Watch edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a lukewarm, tepid start to the market today as we await the Fed decision and, of course, the Fed's plans going forward. The Dow is up 25 points, which puts it at 33,078. The S&P is up 10 points. That puts it at 4,204. The NASDAQ is up 43. There's where the action is. The chip stocks, after AMD's report last night, pretty good. NASDAQ up 43 to 12,893. The small caps are down 0.5%, however. They've really struggled over the last several years. Crude oil up $1.85 to $82.87, and I think on fear of escalation of that war if Hezbollah were to announce that they're getting involved in his important announcement on Wednesday from the leader of Hezbollah. Gold's up 30 cents to 1994. Silver is down 9 cents to 22.86. The 10-year, now this is good news on the bond market. It's down on a weaker-than-expected jobs report and an inline refunding report. We'll get to that in a minute. The 10-year's at 4.84. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm, and some parts of the nation, it's a little chilly right now. I was looking at Bloomfield Hills last night. It was like 22 degrees.
Yeah,
we're 49.
We were there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it is a little cooler this morning. You said a cold front was coming in.
It's here. Yes, it's here at my house right now. Good thing I got all my tomatillos in the garner yesterday, and today they go in the blender with the secret herbs and spices. Well, we had the
lots of info. Lots of info to digest this morning.
Wow, there's a big Fed calendar. There's a big We got a lot. Okay, the Dow was up 124 yesterday. That was the end of October. That's the third month in a row that the market has been down. That hasn't happened since, last year. The S&P was up 27. The NASDAQ was up 62 yesterday. ANET, Arista Networks was the stock of the day yesterday from my perspective, along with Pinterest, which we don't own, but we do own ANET. And on the disaster of the day was Caterpillar, which we do not own. Okay, so you have a 3-month losing streak for the first time since Q1, actually 2020. You got to go back quite a ways. That was the COVID year. Is the last time we had a 3-month losing streak. Apparently, the strike over against the Big Three. And now, of course, we look forward to the last 2 months of the year. In October, all 11 sectors ended in the red, with the exception of utilities. Energy was the top loser, down 6% for the month. Okay, now, on the interest rate front, because I'm just going to say that the two biggest factors right now in the market are the interest rate front, which is the bond market, and the war in Israel. Private employment rises only 113K in October, less than the consensus.
And was expected to be 145,000, so I guess that would be on the side of bringing yields down, right?
Yes.
In terms of employment, meaning, bad news being good news in terms of bringing down interest rate yields. And then, of course, like you said, the fear gauge, right, naturally, at least in other crises, right, that brings people a flight to safety, which leads them to buying treasuries, which brings yields down as well. And then, of course, we got the refunding, as you mentioned. The refunding announcement basically came in line. I think it was $112 billion versus $114 billion was expected. So no surprise on that side, I think, thankfully. I think they knew they couldn't surprise with that number.
Yes, and yesterday's their schedule of raising money also was lighter than expected. So, like you say, they may have known they could have crushed the market, because that's what
crushed their own market, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you think about it,
over the last 3 months, the main reason the market's been down 3 months in a row is Janet Yellen, and that last meeting, which I find it interesting. Stanley Druckenmiller, he just was livid about the spending that's taking place. Of course, we talk about it here. I'm livid too internally.
I mean, $10 trillion. Yeah, I mean, come on, you know.
And he says they got to get that spending now. Druckenmiller, he says they're spending like a drunken sailor. He studied under George Soros, but Soros comes from the you just keep printing money. That's the new. The new economic theory that there is no end, and Janet Yellen comes from that camp too. She's probably the worst Treasury Secretary we've ever had because of her modern, what they call it, modern economic theory. Which is, I think the initials for it are BS. It should be. And a Druckenmiller totally just ripped them, and he claims that she made the biggest blunder in the history of the U.S. Treasury. We'll get to that in a minute. She really ripped into Janet Yellen. Okay, let's see. Earnings. Let's see. CVS. We've got CVS today. Qualcomm, PayPal, Roku, Airbnb. Most of this is after the close tonight. Kraft Heinz, Etsy, Prudential, Glaxo, DuPont, Marathon, Norwegian Cruise Lines, AIG, SunPower, SolarEdge, Electronic Arts, Aflac, MetLife, Yum Brands, Wayfair, MicroStrategy, DoorDash, Allstate, Humana, Avis, and Zillow. Okay, well, and then tomorrow, obviously, is Apple. So this is the micro part of the market. These are the individual small pieces that make up the market. You know, we begin with the macro economy. We give any news on that every day, the global economy, break it down to the U.S. economy. And then there's these economic reports that come in. Those are all macro. Along the indexes are pretty much macro. Then when you get into the fine, the granular part of it, that's the individual stocks. I don't expect much from Apple tomorrow. It's just been, they've had their new product releases. They were met with a ho-hum, a big yawn, and I just don't expect a very good report out of them. Tomorrow,
you'd expect probably what, in line, and in line, and probably some
cautious
lighter weakness on the new rollout of the new phone. That's what,
yes. Tomorrow we get Block, Starbucks, Shopify, Barrick Gold, Moderna, Conoco, DraftKings, Skyworks, Cloudflare, Southern Company, Peloton, Bosch Health, Booking Holdings, Marriott, Kellanova, Cigna, Wendy's, Crocs. And on Friday, we get a few utilities. So
now, how many are we going to be? I know you keep track of this. You'll probably know it more at the very end of the week. It seems like we're by the end of the week we'll have a pretty good percentage of S&P companies that have reported, especially when you throw Apple in there.
Yeah, we hit the 50% mark last Friday.
Okay.
Half.
Okay.
And it's going quite a bit better than expected.
Right.
As a whole. Now, by this Friday, we should have probably 3/4 of the earnings in. We're still expecting record earnings this year, somewhere in the $230 per share area. put that into perspective, back in 2009, we made $60 per share as an S&P 500. That is the biggest reason that explains this bull market that began in 2009. It's been up to, interrupted several times. We've had some very small bear markets along the way. But earnings are hitting an all-time high. The market follows earnings. It's as simple as that. Okay, now, next year we're expecting somewhere in the 250 range in earnings, another record. The market will follow that if those earnings are delivered. And then in 2025, we're expecting around 275 earnings. So from an earnings standpoint, you still have to be bullish, but you have to watch these economic reports. You have to watch the global events to see if that's going to put a dent into those earnings expectations. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We've got a little lift in the market now. The Dow's up 133. The NASDAQ is up 76 right now, and we'll get to those earnings reports here. We also have, the good news is, I guess, that interest rates are tame today, because we were worried about that. We were worried about yesterday's plans for issuance of new debt, and today's quarterly refunding of debt. It came in at $112 billion, so that is in line, so that is helping. And then, of course, the weak jobs report. You actually have interest rates down 6 basis points to 4.81. How closely tied is the stock market to interest rates right now? Wow. There's Why did the market take off while we were taking a break? Because the interest rates dropped 7 basis points or 5 basis points during that 15-minute break. So that's how important those interest rates are right now, because it affects the multiple. We talk about earnings all the time, but we also talk about what are those earnings going to be multiplied by.
Yeah, in manufacturing, PMI manufacturing came in kind of in line, and also ISM manufacturing actually came in lower than expected. So you had another kind of soft, right, economic report, which is, helps lead to lower rates at this point.
Yes, and the Fed standing pat, obviously, today. When they announce at 2 p.m. this afternoon and then at 2:30, that's where the real fireworks begin, because the Fed announcement's expected to be no change. But it's what Powell says, and last month he really tanked the market for a couple of weeks after he warned higher for longer was the phrase last time.
The percentages for no change today at the CME futures market is 98.8% chance of no change.
So. Yes. Okay, let's get to Druckenmiller. Druckenmiller, Secretary of Treasury, he says that Secretary of Treasury Janet Yellen made the biggest blunder in the history of the Treasury when she did not secure long-term U.S. debt at low interest rates back in 2021, said billionaire investor Stanley Druckenmiller. The former chairman and president of Duquesne Capital told Paul Tudor Jones, founder of asset management firm Tudor Investment Corp., at the J.P. Morgan Robin Hood Investors Conference last week. How come we weren't invited? Where was I?
To Robin Hood, and probably because it says Robin Hood in the name.
Yeah,
of it. I don't know if
that is true. You don't get to be a billionaire without stealing from the poor or the rich a little bit. That while every American household and business managed to refinance their homes or businesses, that's true. I mean, most people are sitting on a 3% mortgage right now, locking in lower interest rates before the Fed hiked them. She didn't take action at that point in time. This mistake has set the environment for the U.S. debt crisis that exists today. Well, I would just say, you know, I mean, Biden made a huge mistake by draining our strategic oil reserves at a very, you know, at a very high price. He said he was going to, or at a low price, he said he was, what did he do? Where was it when he drained it?
Yeah,
no, it was at a high price.
He did it at a high price because he was trying to bring it down.
He was trying to bring it down.
Yeah, the idea would be to sell high and buy low, right? The difference is, you know, I don't think they've bought anything.
They didn't buy anything when it got down into the 60s there. And so he has not been able to refill. So we don't have very good traders.
And I know I remember under Trump for, you know, for 4 years, I know it was talked about. I don't know how much of it was ever done, but remember they were talking about bringing back, and they may have bringing back, remember the 30-year treasury? Because remember at one point, right, for a handful of years,
yeah,
they didn't even have a 30-year note,
she
I
could have locked in low interest rates to fund the U.S. debt for many years, but failed to do it. And
didn't
now
have
she's...
A, I think there was a Swiss bond. Remember, it was like some kind of bond that came out as like a 50-year or a 100-year bond or something,
yes,
right? Where different treasuries were taking advantage of that those low rates. Like
it,
you said,
it comes due during the millennium, right?
Like, yeah, right. Yeah. Just keep waiting.
Yes.
A lot of duration risk. In
okay, that. Piper Sandler is sticking by their 4,825. I hope they're right. God bless them. Price target for the end of the year,
yeah, right,
which would represent a 15% rally. That's 2 months from the current levels of 4,190.
Yeah,
so they're sticking
right,
in know. There. They're doubling down. I hope they're right. I don't think they are. I think we'll close the year somewhere in the 4,300-4,400 area. Now, I just want to mention a new development there. In the war in Israel on Friday, you know, Hezbollah is much more well-armed and has much more sophisticated weapons than Hamas has. And on Friday, their leader, Nasrallah, is going to announce, make a big announcement. And there's a lot of people in Israel that, you know, intelligence folks and whatnot, that believe he's going to get involved. He has a very large ego. And, of course, Hamas is getting crushed pretty much right now. If he joins in, that's a whole new ball game. So that's going to add a lot of risk here. There is definitely that pall of war, that fog of war hanging over the market. And, you know, if Nasrallah and Hezbollah gets involved, that probably brings the U.S. into the conflict also. So I just want you to know that in front of the coming weekend. We got through the refunding announcement. We got through the bond. We got the Fed today, and then tomorrow Nasrallah at 3 p.m. There's something about his ring. He wears his ring on his right hand when they're not at war, and when he's ready to go to war, he switches his ring to his left hand. And it's being rumored that people are seeing him with that ring on the left hand right now. So we'll see. Boeing added to the conviction list at Goldman Sachs. Well, you know, I mean, Goldman Sachs, I don't take their advice, to be honest with you. But it's Goldman, at least Boeing is kind of steadying here. It's building a base here in the 189 area. We got out of Boeing. I thought it was going to continue. It got up to 243 and was really rocking and rolling. Then all of a sudden, they started to make some missteps.
It just seems like there's a bunch of variable factors, right? Some of them, some of them largely out of their control, especially when you get into some of the parts issues and, you know, of suppliers. And just it seems like it's hard to get all of those ducks in a row, right, and going in the right direction. It seems like it's almost like, you know, herding sheep or herding cats, where you've got, you know, a couple of things always going, you know, going off the beaten path, which, you know, tend to be a headwind for the stock, or at least
yes. And I talk to Boeing employees all the time,
right?
And I hear
yeah.
about these missteps. Okay, the reason I don't have my money at UBS and having them manage it, which is the old Payne Weber and others, they are positive on China's internet sector. I can't imagine a worse sector to invest in. We're talking about Alibaba, Tencent Holdings.
Talk about legislative risk, right?
There was a time when they were good stocks. I wouldn't touch them at all in this environment that we're in right now. Now, when we come back, really the big story of the day driving the market is AMD. which was down last night, but it's rocking and rolling today. Why? It's one of our biggest positions. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, today's advance in the market, I'm going to say, is for the most part brought to you by AMD. The good folks at AMD, right?
Yeah, right. It took a little while for the market to digest that report, right?
So our two biggest portfolios by far are our large cap premier growth portfolio, which has AMD in it, and our second biggest by far is our ultra growth portfolio, which also has AMD in it. And in that portfolio, we picked up AMD on January the 10th of this year. It's now up 55% since then. It's been higher. It's been as high as 132. You know what? I mean, AMD has come down a lot from that 132. It got clear down to 90 here recently. I was getting very nervous about AMD, and I felt like this earnings report would really be a pivot spot for them. They're either going to pivot to the downside and break support, which would have caused me to just move on for now until things improve, or I really didn't expect that. And let's face it, the earnings report was not that good. They offered up weaker than expected guidance
for the fourth quarter. Yeah, and it was. I think it's where the growth was, right? Number one, the weakness, primary weakness, at least for the fourth quarter, when you kind of break the report apart, is in the gaming industry.
Yes, gaming.
And so the new 2 years ago, you had the rollout of the PS5 and the newer Xbox, and both of those kind of took a little while to come, to really come out and ramp up production. And so, last Christmas, right, those were you could actually find those things. And then, of course, this year, that market is more saturated, right?
Now,
if you wanted those systems, you probably already had one.
So then why is AMD right now just blasting off? It's
finally
6.2%, four times normal volume. Here's why. On the earnings call, Chief Executive Dr. Lisa Su said the company expects more than $2 billion in revenue next year from its M1300 chip. What's the M1300 chip? AI.
Finally getting some clarity on the potential benefits there for that company for AI, and that's what's the tailwind that's finally capturing some of that tailwind.
And they call a chip MI. This growth going to $2 billion by next year would make M13 the fastest product to ramp up to $1 billion in sales in AMD history.
Wow.
Dr. Su said on the call. She added the company will have more to say about the chip at its event in December. AMD was down 1.5% last night after the report, and then when this news came out, bam, the stock, especially today, especially since the market has opened. I guess by the time the West Coast folks wake up and read the news and everything. So City Analyst has a buy rating, $136 price target. It's already been there. It's been to $133. Now, as I look at the beststocksnowapp.com, AMD, we have a target price that is 76% higher than where it is right now. over the next 5 years. That continues to keep it in a buy range. We like companies that have 75% or more upside potential. And we haven't factored in, this is without factoring in this new chip. So we still have AMD from a valuation point of view with the buy rating, 76% upside potential. But I'm surprised, you know, I'm surprised. I think they kind of have kept this quiet, and it's having a powerful impact on the stock today. And it's carrying the other chip stocks with it. NVIDIA is now up 2%. And ASM, we also own these holdings, ASM, which is they're the ones that enable, that make the equipment to make these chips, these high-speed chips. They have a lock on that market, ASM, out of the Netherlands. And ASM is rocking and rolling today. So we're having a fantastic day in our accounts. ASM is up 1.2% today. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the humdrum stocks out there. And the reason why is because they all play into the S&P 500. Yum Brands post double-digit sales growth at KFC. That surprises me. And Taco Bell chains. That's pretty good, actually, to have double-digit growth at those two chains. Yum Brands is up 1% today. They also, you know, they have the four food groups, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they've added recently, they have the hamburger joint, The Habit.
Is that them?
Okay. They bought that. Yeah. I've been to The Habit. We had one right by our home when we lived in San Diego Carlsbad area.
Yeah, I remember Yum Brands always sounds better than the old, I think it was the old Tricon. I think it was Tricon brand.
When it was,
you know, it was known as Tricon when it was, you know, basically just Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC.
Yeah, they're slowly adding. And of course, we don't own Yum Brands. We own QSR.
Yeah.
QSR is the big turnaround play that we're hoping for. That's Restaurant Brands. That's the old CEO that turned around Domino's and made shareholders a ton of money is now at work with Restaurant Brands, and it's in the $67 area.
And those are slowdown in recession play too, because I mean it's more of a defensive play a lot of times in recessionary periods, right? You get folks trading down from, you know, meal wise, right, to some of those fast food, more quick service type
yes.
environment.
And Restaurant Brands has several brands that are in bad need of a turnaround. Burger King,
yeah.
Popeyes
is pretty good. Is a pretty good one in terms. That's where a lot of their growth has been.
And Tim Hortons and Firehouse Subs.
Yeah, we saw one of the Tim Hortons. Remember, we drove by one of the Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
We drove by it during the evening. Yeah, we needed it. We wanted to go get in there and get a cup of coffee at least to do a little boots on the ground research.
Yes. Well, I do every once in a while as I go through Georgetown. There's a pretty new burger. I'll stop in there and just get something just to test it out to see if they're improving the quality. The onion rings still suck. I mean, you can't grind up onions. You got to have a whole onion in there somehow, but I don't know. Look, but the burgers they've gotten more consistent. So I'm just waiting for this big turnaround by Patrick Doyle, who turned around Yum Brands. Now, the other one reporting, and I wish we wouldn't have sold this, you know, they plan on becoming one of the biggest franchises in the world, and that's Wingstop. Wingstop currently has 1,900 stores. They're aiming to have over 7,000. It broke our line of support. I sold it, and it's been going up ever since, Barry. We sold it at 159, and now it's at 192. I mean, this is still a great growth story. But let me just say something about these smaller stocks. They are volatile. You know, I mean, you have to be able to put up with a lot of volatility to own these younger, smaller growth stocks that are really emerging. And Wingstop, that's where we owned it in our emerging growth.
Yeah, and in the indices, you're not going to get it. You and I were talking about this, you know, looking at, say, the Russell 2000, where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, smaller healthcare names that were kind of bid up during COVID and thought that they would have, you know, some, you know, big revenues going forward that just, you know, haven't happened. You got some, you know, smaller banks in there, some other, you know, companies that are, have been kind of indebted or zombie companies for an extended period of time.
You've got to cherry pick those indexes.
You got to work through that, through the muck. Yeah, you got to work through the muck there.
Wingstop has blowout earnings today, and it's up 5%, and the stock is breaking out to the upside. Now let's go to the downside here. Here's the disaster of the day. We don't own it. This stock has been going down for a long time, and it used to be one of the kings or queens of Wall Street, Estee Lauder. I don't know what's wrong there. It's down 17% today. We don't own it. It's breaking down. That's a horrible chart. Yesterday, Caterpillar was the disaster of the day. Today, it's Estee Lauder. There's another one, too, Paycom. Paycom is just getting smashed. I have owned that in the past. I'm glad I don't own it now. It's down 38% today. They introduce a product that lets employees do their own payroll, and it's totally cannibalized their industry and their business. Not a good move. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where AMD is driving the bus here today. I really didn't expect it, Barry. We kind of knew that their AI chip. Now, when the last update they gave was several months ago, and it
they really haven't talked it up.
You know,
that's really. I mean, and she's a pretty matter of fact CEO, and you know there wasn't. You know, you kind of waited for them to have, you know, some kind of event, right, or just, you know, kind of, you know, market, right, AI to a certain extent, you know, because we knew they had the capabilities to do so, particularly on the data warehousing side. And, you know, I think finally, right, you know, they've, you know, indicated, you know, both through, you know, really through the actual numbers and earnings, right, versus, you know, simply raising guidance, right, which is what NVIDIA did, which kind of kicked off that whole huge move for them. In this case, right, you know, you're almost seeing the numbers before they were being baked into the pot.
Yes, NVIDIA had the best earnings report I've ever seen since I've been in the business. That was like just about a few months ago or whatever. Now, talk about management and turnaround plays, okay? How important is management in any business? I don't care if you're running a restaurant business or chips, or even the person who manages your money, the portfolio, your financial planner and advisor. There's a lot of mediocrity out there. Lisa Su has... AMD was a $1 stock in 2016. All right. In 7 years, it's gone to 105. Tell me a better turnaround story than AMD, you know, other than Apple when it was on its rear end and Jobs came back. AMD as recently as 2018 was a $9 stock, and Intel was running circles around it. Now it's a $105 stock. It's an elite stock in the market, along with NVIDIA, which is another elite stock. These are obviously two of the best tech CEOs in the world. And it doesn't matter if it's a Burger King CEO turning around that franchise, which, you know, they're proven winners. And look at AMD, one of the great turnarounds
up
of
seven,
all time.
Yeah, up over 7% at the moment.
Unbelievable. And, of course, it's carrying us because it's carrying along with it It's carrying along Adobe, which is up 2.4%. It's carrying along Microsoft, which is the leading software company in AI with their ChatGPT. Microsoft's up 2.4%. It's lifting NVIDIA, which is up 2.2%. Now, we obviously don't all own all tech stocks, but the ones that we do own, we consider them to be the elite. NVIDIA and Meta's up 2.1. So it's lifting the entire chip high-tech elite sector along with it. Okay, now let's look at the S&P 500. Believe it or not, the winner, biggest winner in the S&P is Generac. I've told you my Generac story. Yeah. We have one here. It has not had to come on yet. We've tested it a few times. I flipped the switch to my whole house off, right? And that thing all of a sudden senses something. It kicks up, starts up. It's pretty exciting, really. But we have not, it has not, we have not had any hurricanes this year here in Charleston that that required that. But Generac's up 15.6%. AMD is the second biggest winner in the S&P, up 6.6. Trane is up 10%. Trane is an air conditioning heating company. It's up 9.5. It's the third biggest winner. You know, actually, there's some great stocks in that sector. We own one of them in our emerging growth portfolio. That's all I know. Those things are always going out, whether it's your heater, whether it's your air conditioner. I think the air conditioning people, I'm on first name terms with them because it's pretty important here in August.
They work hard. The AC unit itself works hard here.
It works hard, yeah.
Charleston. And salt water doesn't
no.
mix well with those.
They break down
fan
a lot,
parts
damn
as
it.
Well. Right.
Anet. Up 4% today. That's a good move. Salesforce up 1.5%. On the downside, these are the stocks, the worst stocks now. Walgreens down 3.6%. DuPont down 4.7%. These are kind of stocks of yesteryear. And over at the S&P 500, here's what people are not doing. Well, I told you the story of Paycom. Paycom came up with an option in their, you know, it's a subscription service for your payroll where the employee could do it themselves, and like 60% of them are now doing it themselves, and they don't collect any money. So they totally cannibalize their business. Paycom down 37%, one of the worst mistakes in history, I suppose, by a CEO. I guess people not finding matches. Match.com down 18% today in the S&P 500, and I guess they're not fixing up too much anymore. Estee Lauder, or they're going to cheaper brands. I don't know. Estee Lauder's down 17.8%, so that's the good. The bad.
Yeah, Paycom.
And the ugly.
Paycom's a rough one. I was looking at that one this morning, and, you know, just one of their acquisitions, I believe, it looks like it's going to end up, you're essentially going to cannibalize some of their own business.
One.
And so then you're going to reduce, you know, their future growth. And this is how expectations or, you know, earnings expectations work into valuations. Then, you know, what was supposed to be a future growth source now, you know, reverses and ends up being a cannibalization story. And so the market revised that pretty quickly. Like I said earlier, they were down 40%. I don't know what they're down
right
at the moment. But
yep, that's right. Okay, well, we were ready to flip the switch on www.beststocksnowapp.com today to the new version. I found a spelling error, so I sent that over to them today.
Good at you. That's
it's
not,
just
not
a
my
matter.
Suit.
Yeah, they had leverage spelt wrong, so it's just a matter of how fast that spelling error.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to get the switch flipped. So tomorrow you'll see the redesign of the beststocksnowapp.com, which is an invaluable tool. I use it exclusively for my money management practice, and I make it available to do-it-yourselfers. GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the newsletter, BestStocksNowApp.com for the app, and to call us about money management and a plan, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.